Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anna, who is here to speak with us about her experience of practicing with a really fun practice tool that several folks are practicing with. Welcome, Anna.
Hey, Jen.
Hey. Let me just check the sound quality. Can you hear me okay, Anna?
I can hear you very well. Can you hear
okay.
me?
I can. Yeah, I heard some static, but actually it's gone now.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, this amazing practice tool, we're calling it the Four Gates of Practice, that many folks are starting to use as a way to really bring all of our lives into practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you have been practicing with it. And so before we kind of jump in and ask you to talk about your specific experience, I thought we might walk through what the four gates are. You want to start
off
on that? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the gates are, is it skillful? Is it kind?
Is it kind?
Is this what practice would do? Is this how practice would respond?
Uh-huh. Is this what practice would do? Is this how practice would respond?
And how is this not about me, in quotation marks? How is this
uh-huh.
not about ego?
How is this not about me? How is this not about ego? Or how has it become about me, about
mm-hmm.
ego, as the case may be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so kind of using that as a framework, when we find ourselves in difficult places and places where suddenly realize, wait a minute, I'm in here with conditioning. Something's going on here. Let me look to see, use these four gates to assist me to see if I can
right.
get back here.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And even that movement feels so important, right? Let me check in with these gates. It really feels like they're guideposts and places to check in on something. The way I've heard the guide describe it is we're learning to tell the difference between following present moment guidance from life and looking to conditioned mind for what to do. And so these are wonderful ways to check in on that to help us practice being in the process of following life's guidance. Am I here? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What I just saw when you said that was, you know, looking at the Big Bamboozle, one of Sherry and Ashwani's recent books, how many ways it has to get us. Even when we're just completely sincere and we have every intention of living our lives in the present moment and being of service to life and all those things, it just has all these ways that it can worm its way in. And so to have these kind of these other mirrors to look in, these present moment mirrors to look in, is such an assistance.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the big things I've noticed with practicing with the gates is that just asking the question, is it kind, takes me to an experience of kindness in the body, takes me to an experience of kindness in the system, and I'm already there's already an energy shift. There's already some stepping back and stepping back into how I want to be and what I choose. Like the Peace quote yesterday was, you know, the main thing is to make sure that the main thing is the main thing. So am I choosing am I choosing the deepest desire of my heart? And just even asking the question, is it kind, is taking me to an experience of kindness.
Yeah, well, and that's so perfect, isn't it? Because we often say, you know, one process doesn't lead to another. So
right.
if what I really want, if my deepest desire, you know, one way to say it might be, is to be kind in everything I'm doing, then, as you say, just asking that question takes you to the experience of kindness. And so it at least really ups your chances that if you're now in a process of kindness, that whatever response or action or that sort of thing is coming from kindness.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Absolutely. And the other big thing I'm noticing with practicing with the four gates is that, so with the question, is it skillful? It's like, I see how I can only be in that process of intuiting what's appropriate in the moment when I'm in the moment.
mm-hmm. That's such a good and subtle point.
To be here and to be really feeling that process of life intuiting what the moment calling for. I have to be present to the moment, not in a conversation about what to do. And so that question, is it skillful, just kind of, you know, brings me here out of that conversation about how to do it right, how to be the right person, that is the making it about me.
Right. That brings in the, you know, it's all about me. Am I doing it right? Am I being the right person? Am I? And of course, it never frames it that way, right? Mm-hmm. It's never going to say, gosh, am I really being the right person here? It's going to say something more like, gosh, you know, I'm really not sure what the best thing to do, or, you know, whatever that subtle language would be.
Yeah.
But then having that check-in of, well, is this skillful? Sounds like it's really waking you up to realizing, wait, the only way, well, first of all, what we know is that what's skillful is what comes from the moment. And so the only way I can have any sense of that is to be in the moment, not in a conversation about being in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yep. And so, Anna, I don't know if you have a way to articulate this, because this is kind of subtle, but so there you are going around in your life. How does it work to actually use this in your day-to-day life?
Mm-hmm.
How do you find yourself employing it?
Yeah, well, first of all, I have them on the recorder, so I listen to it every day, several times a day, just as a thing that brings me back and keeps them in awareness. And then, you know, there are situations that come up where I can feel like a lot of voices, a lot of conditioned grooves, and they can be really helpful to check in and just see what's going on without needing to know or to figure out, but as guideposts and places to check in. So shall I give you a concrete example of a recent one?
Yeah, that'd be great.
So I moved into a new living situation where the folks I'm living with eat meat. And part of the deal with me living there is that I was going to be helping out with the cooking. And so I noticed all of this voices screaming that to help out, I had to cook the meat. You know, they're so busy. How could you? And like that. Mm-hmm. So this big call to just do it. That would be being helpful and good and right and all like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting messages that say, actually, would it be all right if I didn't do that? Would be making it about me. Right? Would be selfish and how could you?
Uh-huh.
And with the assistance of the gates, what I got to see was that, let's see how to put it, that if I went ahead and did something that didn't feel good to the heart and felt like abandoning the heart, abandoning the human, then what I would be modeling would be sacrificing a human. And that there was a way that was appropriate to the moment and to the best of my ability, skillful to just say in a relaxed way, hey, you know, would it be all right if I prepped all of the veggies and you guys took care of the meat? And a response was, well, sure, of course, no problem. I got to see how in that there was like a making it about me, maybe with a capital M, you know, making it about life, or making it about a choice for the heart and sticking with that.
Yeah.
It wasn't a making it about ego.
Yeah.
It was just a very, very helpful workshop to be in to help me to just really be shown again. I don't know. You know,
It's so good, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. I mean, the first thing that dropped in for me when you were saying that was that, you know, we often talk about, this is me. It's my body. This is me. I make choices about me. And I can choose to eat what I want to eat and exercise if I want to or not, if I don't want to exercise or not get enough sleep or whatever. But the place that we sometimes talk about is, this is God's human. This is God's human. It's not me. It's not mine. And so what I love is that as you were describing that, you know, of course, the big bamboozle, ego's going to want to take the gates and twist it around. So the world of opposites, well, it would be making it all about you. I mean, if you did that, because, you know, you have that blah, blah, blah. But what's so great about it is that there are four of them, and it couldn't pass all four. What that does is it requires us to keep looking,
Yes.
Okay. And what you got to was that principle of, wait, you know, practice would never advocate, would never ask for someone to say, oh, no, it's fine, I'll just cook the meat, you know. It just wouldn't do that. And so then the beautiful thing is what drops in is just that very simple, kind communication. Hey, would this work? The answer is, yeah, sure, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
No drama.
Stewarding a human, huh? Like, God wants to help us steward that guidance in life. And
and it's so clear in the way you lay it out that it's all one thing, right? It's not, well, what's best for me, and then, but that might be different than that get me against you, and I don't want to put my needs over your needs. And but with that depth, that place, that expanded awareness, it's not a duality like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, I was going to say, even today they were assisting me to steward a human where I knew I was going to be talking about the four gates on Good News Updates this afternoon, and I noticed a very familiar, habitual, deep groove of a process, which is to look to conditioned mind to figure out what to say, right? And just that gate of, is this what practice would do? Is this how practice would respond? It just helped me live in the process of the four gates, in the truly the spirit of them. I just felt so supported today.
Oh, I love it. That's so fabulous. And what it really underlines is, we can do it even in the places where conditioning would say the stakes are high, right? And then we just keep practicing and realize, wow, I can bring that to every moment of my life, that same process. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Anna. It was really fun to hear all of that.
It's so fun to practice with them. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. Good night.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Anna. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Wasn't that a fun conversation?
Yes. Yes, it was great.
You know, one of the things I liked best about it was the point that there are four of these, and there's just no life situation where ego is going to be able to drag us past all four of those gates.
Yes, exactly.
So good. Yeah.
And I love Jana's example also about cooking the meat, and I was thinking about those circumstances, situations. You know, and I'm in conditioned mind for hours and days trying to figure out how to frame the question and rehearse it so I get the answer, and, you know, and just casually asking, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, will this work? Oh, yeah, sure. No problem.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And even if they said no, it's not. Oh, well, okay. You know, because we can't assume that every time we ask, somebody's going to say what we want them to say. But boy, we're going to increase our chances of living a happy, drama-free, calm kind of a life.
Yes. I like that drama-free part. That's good.
Oh, my gosh. Because isn't that what ego is just devoted to? Just drama.
And I have some announcements here, if we want to get started on that.
Sure. Why not?
Okay. 'Tis the season to be jolly, and yet it can also be the season of stress. Join Sherry at our new center in the Bay Area on December 3rd for a Time Out from Stress workshop to explore tips and tools for having a fun and relaxing holiday. On the spiritual journey, you will experience undulations in energy, clarity, participation, and presence. A new Socratic email class starting November 28th offers an opportunity to explore how you navigate undulations in your practice. Everyone will have two opportunities to interact with you, Sherry, and to receive guidance.
Yes, indeed. And wouldn't we say, perhaps, that the holiday season is one of the most undulation-prone times of the year?
Yes, exactly.
It's good to take a look at it then.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And start the next year with a community of people gathered to practice conscious, compassionate awareness at the New Year's Retreat, December 27th through January 1st, in Menlo Park, California. The retreat features meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with you, Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on the beautiful, spacious grounds.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
And you know, Michael, something else people can find if they visit livingcompassion.org is the 2018 calendar.
Oh, my goodness. Is it up?
I know. It is.
Okay.
Can you imagine? Can you believe it? Is it possible?
Yes. We have to remind people to wait to the end of the show to have a look.
Yeah, don't leave us. Please don't leave us.
Starting with me.
Yeah, you stay here. You stay right here.
No multitasking here.
Exactly.
And a few reminders. If you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic that lasts about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Elena from Brooklyn, New York.
Well, hello.
Hi, Elena.
Hello there. I had a feeling that I was going to perhaps come up first in the queue because I have never called into this radio show before, and I've been listening for 15 years.
How many years?
15, I think.
You've been with us since the beginning.
It's almost pretty close. Maybe it's a little bit, maybe my math is off. But I haven't necessarily been listening on Tuesdays always. I try to get the podcasts. But I always thought to myself, well, isn't that an interesting bit of practice resistance that I have never dared or set any intentionality around ever calling into the show because it completely mortified me.
Wow. That's big, isn't it?
It is big. And I also have to say, there also was very little intentionality in deciding to do it either. I was a visiting monk over the summer, and I had set my watch for different reminders about where to be when. And I left the reminder, which is in a totally different time zone, but works here on the East Coast, for the show. And it went off, and I'm here working late and totally identified and grumpy and unhappy. What the vibrating on my wrist? And I was like, oh my gosh, that is the show. And I like looked up how to, you know, call in because I never listen at this time. And then I realized I was early because it was a warning alarm. So when I hit star six, I was like, oh, I'm probably going to be very early in the queue. And it was all meant to be. So there you go.
It was meant to be. Well, it's lovely to have you with us.
Thank you. And I have nothing to say other than this encouragement for anyone who's ever had a lot of trepidation about calling in. I would say also that as I was listening to the Good News updates, I just had an incredible heart opening upon, you know, hearing the voices of some of the monks and people that stay at the monastery. And that was all worth it in and of itself when I just got transported back to that place of intentional practice and center. So thank you for that.
Well, lovely. Now, let me ask you this. Are you a little less grumpy than when you...
less grumpy. Oh, I'm beaming. Like, as I was, you know, because I have to say I wasn't in full attention. I was multitasking as, because I'm in the office and it's going to be a late night. You know, I thought, wow, this whole evening got a lot better, even though, you know, nothing changed other than, right, my focus and perspective. So.
Yeah, and that's the whole deal, isn't it?
Indeed.
Well, I hope you'll join us. Not that I hope that you're grumpy every Tuesday night, but, you know, whenever you can, I hope you make this a habit.
Indeed. So warm greetings to you, Sherry, and to Michael, and I'll leave time for folks with more topical issues.
All right. Wonderful to hear your voice.
Take care. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Elena. That's very fun.
How fun is that? Oh, my gosh.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Cool. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura from San Diego.
Well, hello, Laura.
Hello, you two. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody, as we like to say now, huh?
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Just include the entire world in our hello,
exactly.
Our greeting. Mm-hmm. What's going on with Laura?
So, kind of want to check back in about so the last time I called in, the encouragement was to really look at, for lack of better language, compassionate calendaring, right? Or, you know, compassionate scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
And so add that to the four gates. What, you know, it's like what I've been looking at is kind of two places. Is what will happen is, for example, using that tool, I'll look at is this, you know, kind, and I don't get past the identification. Like, so I'm quote looking at this. And I'm seeing a lot of the ways in which the suffering, the karma is in place, but there's nothing, I feel like it's a start stall, right? Like of anything changing. And so then there's this.
You mean it's kind of a foot on the gas, foot on the brake sort of thing?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so.
Okay.
I can feel that this, I've been listening to old archives, and you said in 2002 in January, I actually had to write it down because when you said it, it was hard for me to hold on to it. And it captures kind of that you said, the level of self-hatred that is inspired by the failure is the amount you're investing in failure.
Wow. Whoa.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I just
goodness gracious, that's sobering.
Isn't that powerful?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I just heard that this morning, and so I've just been like – marinating with that one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the content of the scheduling, but it's the process of how scheduling is used, or how, that this human gets tortured with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know, that's what I'm seeing. I don't know if that is actually true. Because
yeah,
I feel like I dance around this.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that what happens is that you have an idea about something, and then say your week. You look at your week, and then suddenly your week has a whole bunch of stuff in it that you didn't intend, or a day gets filled up, and is it that kind of thing? Or is it that there are 23 things that you want to do on any given day?
So it's somewhat of a combination. So So my niece was over this weekend. She comes over on Sundays, and I said, "Oh, what you doing?" She was like, "Oh, I'm writing down what I need to do for the week." I chuckled. I was like, "Oh, I need to do that, right?" Like I saw this wisdom of this like 20-year-old girl, right, writing down. So I let things get scheduled that have to get scheduled, right? Clients or appointment or something like that. But then I don't schedule the things that need to get taken care of until it's a last-minute thing and there's going to be some severe consequence. And then it may get handled, or I don't and I pay the severe consequence and I feel much better after it's done, but then I do it all over again.
Uh-huh. Okay, right. Okay, so I see why that little sentence was so powerful for you. Right, because you're suspecting that what's at the root of this is exactly the result that you get.
Yes,
right? It's the payoff. Right, that's the addiction, is to how you feel when you get backed into one of these corners and have to pay the consequence.
Yes, it's so cruel, and I can see it. And yet I keep
Let me ask
it.
You this obvious question. Does she deserve to be treated that way?
So this is another interesting piece, because I feel like these tears will come up, and there's like so I've been practiced when they're not indulging, like it does. So, I come from a history of one form of self-harm behavior to another. And what I saw the other day is this is like the next self-harm behavior.
Uh-huh. Right. Leave any scars.
Yeah. No, so it was an eating disorder, and it was this, and it was that. And, it's like, but
yeah.
Man, it's a different form of torture for the human.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes. Yes, which is where that question comes from, right? It's someone who is beaten regularly, not for any behavior, but just on general principles. Right? It hasn't done anything wrong, but it's just deserves to be beaten for unidentified sins and crimes.
Yeah, it feels really heavy.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
And the like content's like scheduling. It's like, God, why can't I get this? Like, it's not that, and so it's just, I just feel really kind of paralyzed by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the good news, Laura, is that the solution to this has nothing to do with the problem. Okay? And that is that what needs to be removed from this is the consequences. So, for instance, I know that I'm up against this, right? I know that this karma is in place, and I know that it's got me. It's just got me. And there's really nothing that I can do about it. I'm I am powerless against it, as they say in some circles. And so I don't send in the registration for my car. You know, I don't pay the registration for my car. I put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off, and then it's past due, and I have a fine. Mm. And my response to that needs to learn to be, oh, well, that's okay.
Wow.
Can you sense the difference there?
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny you say that because that's exactly what happened in September.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, that was a new one. I was like, whoa, like, I don't know even know where the first notice went.
Uh-huh.
And then I scramble, right, in this, right, and then I hide it because I'm this grown-up person. Like, that, grown-up people don't do that. Like, there is that conversation around embarrassment and shame that, I do this.
Well, yes, yes, although, you know, if someone put drugs in your drinks until you became addicted to the drugs, would it be your fault?
Hmm. Yeah.
Now the voices would say, "Well, you should have known. You should have noticed. You could have." Okay.
Yeah.
Well, voices always say that kind of thing. So this is really not your issue. This is a karma that's gotten layered onto you that is really not your issue. But the one thing you can do, the one thing that you can affect immediately, is to stop making her pay a price for being victimized.
Wow. I never expected that kind of answer or that kind of, like, feedback.
You can see the validity of it, though.
Yeah, I can definitely feel resistance in the heart area. It's like, well, but that's how we learn consequences, right? That's how. That's an interesting response.
Well, again, if we go to another one, I teach you that it's wrong to steal. By stealing and then saying you did it so that you get punished for it.
Huh.
It really is that dramatically not your issue. You know, if you were there for it, if you were conscious and present when it was happening, then, and one day you will be, and then it is your issue. You will have taken it on and made it your issue, the content of this, right? Doing things on time and not getting late fees or whatever it is. You'll do that. But the process piece of it that needs to be handled first is not letting her be abused. Because it's the abuse of her that's the linchpin. That's what's keeping the whole process in place.
And what fits is because I keep trying all these different programs. I keep trying all of these different reminder systems, all of these different commitments, and I just
it won't work.
Right. Okay.
And Laura, you know, just for everybody who's listening to this, you and everybody who's listening to this, this is true of karma. Period. It's how karma is held in place. And when we stop providing the reward, the karma falls away. And just about, now somebody, we could have conversations and maybe there would be exceptions to this, but just about universally, the way to end karma is simply to accept it. Oh, okay.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I am that way. Yeah, I am that way. Stop feeling bad about it.
Wow.
Start being present.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to practice with this.
Good. Thank you very
much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank yeah, you, thank most you. Welcome. Gosho.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. Sherry, that was just so perfect to accept it all. It just loses mm-hmm. all of its charge.
Yep.
Because there's
yep.
nothing to push against anymore.
That's right. Wind out of the sails.
Mm-hmm.
Just, yeah, yeah, that is the case. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, we can add, yeah, and I'm working on that. I'm working on that. And it's one of those, even, you know, I can be working on it even though it has nothing to do with me.
Hmm. Well,
yeah.
Do you mean in the sense of attending to it and watching the process?
Yep.
And all the tools that we use.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And saving yep. that person from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the case we were just talking about, it's not her fault. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to work to save her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as you said, to work to prevent her from being victimized by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I can mm-hmm. do that. And it has nothing to do with, well, so you're saying she should be. No, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying it's not okay to treat somebody that way. And I'm going to work at untying that knot so that she's not treated that way any longer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, it's powerful.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yes. Sure, we are going to break here and listen to recording and listening ad, and then we will be right back.
All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that we could live in a conversation about what is true, what is real, what is arising in life in the moment, instead of with the voices of karmic conditioning. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We now have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report finding refuge in my own voice, strengthening the awareness of the mentor, and experiencing the 6 weeks as transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old-timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply go to livingcompassion.org. Click on Practice to find 2017 programs and then Recording and Listening Training. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence this year with the support of Recording and Listening.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, good evening. This is Justin. Hi, Sherry. And hi, Michael.
Hello, Justin.
Can you hear me?
Justin. Yes. Yeah, perfectly.
Okay. you caught me off guard. it's so great to be chatting to you. What I just wanted to talk about tonight was depression. And I've been working with my Zen awareness coach, and we refer to it as the pit, falling in the pit. And mm-hmm. the last couple of times being in the pit has been really good practice. A lot of suffering, but really good practice. And mm-hmm. what has been so helpful for me from my coach has been the experience in the pit doesn't really, it's going to be like how it's going to be, you know, the millions of times before this. And just to accept that, you know, that it doesn't have to be any different. I mean, I guess in the past, you know, with this practice, you know, I always just assumed that, you know, putting more effort towards it, I could snap out of the, you know, the quote, the dark room into the light room while I was in the pit, and, you know, jump out of the pit or, you know, magically. But I find that, and you know, that thinking or that assumption kind of brought on more suffering, once
yes.
you're in the midst of depression.
Yeah, and as you probably noticed, there's a reason for that, right? So I'm going along, and I'm in the pit, and I turn my attention to presence. So I'm you know, I'm listening to a bird sing or whatever I'm doing. I'm just walking out in nature or you know, whatever I'm doing that really has my attention here in the present. And then the voice says, the equivalent of, yeah, but are you still depressed? And I turn my attention to depression to find out that, yep, I am. Have you
yeah.
noticed that?
Yes. And what's weird is that when I really look at it, because, you know, what is depression? And I know that you've referred to this in the past, but it really has been my experience the last couple times has been, you know, just being totally lethargic, like just, you know, zero energy. And, you know, just accepting that. And then, you know, if I come from the place of, you know, let's be supportive for this person whose, you know, battery has just run out, you know, things change. I mean, you know, externally, you know, my wife or my daughter or my coworkers, you know, kind of see me in a funk. So it's no different than, you know, when I've been depressed or, you know, quotations in depressed in the past. But just in terms of the amount of suffering going through, you know, whether it's a couple of days or a week and a half or whatever, you know, it's been, you know, really a lot less suffering for me, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it does. Now, I will say, I don't know if you've read the depression book, but I actually took a very aggressive, if you will, approach to depression, and simply because I didn't have awareness practice. I mean, I was in the monastery where I trained, but I didn't have awareness practice, if you know what I mean. And so I did a lot of things that were designed to alter my experience, not necessarily to get out of depression, but to alter my experience. And that's where I realized the relationship between depression and physical activity, which is now, you know, 35 or 40 years later or whatever it is, absolutely a part, you know, people understand the relationship between, but they didn't then. And so to make myself, and I would have to make myself get up and be physically active was probably the biggest challenge that I had. I didn't have the piece then about being kind. You know, there wasn't the mentoring aspect of it. And so it's really just kind of drag myself out of the chair or drag myself out of the bed or wherever I happen to be and get moving. And that is where, again, where I discovered that that the energy is there. It's just being used for purposes that are not mine. And so I don't know if you subscribe to any of that sort of thing. But for me, the combination of making myself be active with kindness, not beating, but just, come on, let's go outside and just start walking. Okay, just go for a walk. And if you want to go faster, you can go faster. If you want to go do more, you can do more. If you don't, it's fine. But we just need to get out there and walk, because that's what takes care of us.
Yeah, I work with
you.
Yeah, I'll work with that, because I know I'll be in the pit at some point in the future. And just one last thing, I know I just want to be quick on this as well, because I've been finding that it's really helpful. Suicidal thoughts that really disturbed me in the past, I kind of reframed it the last couple of times, being in the pit, and really the way I've been looking at it is, you know, suicidal thoughts aren't evidence that I should do anything, you know, that I should actually consider suicide. It's just an indication or evidence that I'm in the pit and that I'm, you know, quote, unquote, depressed.
Yes.
So when, once I framed it like that, and it's like, okay, you know, I can deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if we've ever talked about this, Justin, but it was when I became a Buddhist that that the possibility of suicide went out the window for me, because it's like, oh, no, I suspect that all of this energy is just going to wind up with somebody who's going to be in worse shape than I am. And I just don't want to inflict that on anybody. So I'm going to stick around and clean up as much of this as I can. And, yeah, that's how this feels. It would be so much easier just to pull the switch and be done with this, right? Done with this.
Yeah,
so for me, having that kind of longer view puts me in that place of, yeah, but I don't want to do that. Yeah, I'm not going to, though. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess
it is interesting, though, isn't it, Justin? It's interesting. We've got to give it that. Yeah, and it is a tremendous support for practice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why every time it shows up now, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, here you are, old friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keeping me honest. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent.
All right. Thank
you, sir.
Thank
you very much, Sherry. Okay.
Good night.
Good evening. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Justin. Sherry, what dropped in there as you were speaking is that we each have one person to save, and we have an extraordinary community of people doing that and modeling that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that place of just having such respect for everybody's journey.
Because
we just don't know what it feels like to be anybody else, or what that person is going through, facing, getting to the other side of, you know, encountering and transcending, and
Yes, exactly.
We can do it together.
We can do it together. That's what we're doing right here.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk to another caller, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Okay, this is Beth.
Hello, Beth.
Okay.
Was that a sneeze?
No, that was a, you know, forgive me, but it was an oh shit.
An involuntary expression of, I'm muted? Really?
Yes. Well, I've kind of just settled into the groove of listening. And something I've wanted to kind of say to you for a long time is that one of the main reasons why I continue to call in is because I just get hungry for people to talk to somebody that sounds like they want to talk to me. It doesn't really matter if I get on or not, because you're always talk about what I'm looking at.
Uh-huh. Life is good that way, huh?
But unfortunately, what you just talked about was depression.
And you don't like to talk about that?
It's just gotten heavy. It's just gotten real heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been blessed with having the world's slowest death. And so many people are going to beat me to the finish line. And that it's been 7 years now that I've been kind of, and, you know, the diagnosis was 5 years, and I've still got my hands, and I've still got my feet, and I get real tired. But I'm doing better than anybody expected me to. But, you know, I'm kind of on this different path than anybody else. And the deeper I go on it, the fewer people that are on it.
Yeah. Well, everybody's on it, Beth. It's just that not everybody knows
thank
it.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
In fact, I was writing something for the Project Joy, and I referred to the person who's going to help you get out of this alive. And I thought at the time, I wonder if that's going to strike people as, huh? Because nobody's getting out of this alive.
Nobody is getting out of this alive. I know
but
that.
But that's actually not true, you see. That's actually not true. And in fact, that is the, you know, kind of the heart and soul of what the Buddha taught. If we are identified with ego, with the illusion of this separate self, then, you know, that was born and that's going to die. But what that is unborn. It's unborn and it's undying.
Yes, and that's what I'm trying to find. And I've actually been tearing my house apart looking for what's hanging on the dining hall. It's just, I'm trying to find that part that will not die.
Yes.
But I keep forgetting that.
Well, you know, that voice in the head wants us to forget that.
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
Yes.
It does. And, you know, the fascinating part about that, Beth, is that when we are engaged with that voice in the head, we definitely lose any experience of the eternal. When we're not engaged with that voice in the head, we have an experience of the eternal. We may not recognize it. We may not think of it that way, but that's what it is.
Yes. I have it's just like this vague memory of having experienced center. And it's infinite and easy. But, and from the other perspective, there is no memory of it whatsoever.
That's right. That's right.
And the process does not change.
No.
I wish it would, because I'm getting kind of tired of it.
Well, I think that you've put your finger right on the point of the whole deal. We don't tend to let ego go until we get tired enough of it.
Yeah,
right?
And I keep trying, and what I keep hearing you say tonight, that it's kindness that does it. Compassion.
Yes. Yes.
I can't
Love.
Beat myself into giving up ego.
No, because that's ego beating on ego, and the only point of ego beating on ego is to make sure ego is still alive. Yeah. Yeah. Kindness, compassion, unconditional love. Thank you. Thank you. It's another way in.
Yes. Thank you. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've done for my recordings at night. And I've been working with it 6 years, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And in the big picture, of course, that's not a long time.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah.
So it kind of comes down to, it's really full circle, we're back to Laura, right? Where what has to happen is we get to a place, and the language, you know, can egos just hate this language, but it's, I don't care.
Oh.
I don't care. And it's the deepest, most heartfelt, I don't care. I am going to love this human being. I don't care what happens. And it's not I'm going to love the ego. That's not what we're talking about here. It's unconditional. It's a capital L. And it's something that the ego absolutely cannot do, doesn't want to, has no interest in. And so everything that ego throws out there, it's, I don't care. I choose unconditional love. Blah, 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 blah. I don't care. I don't care. I choose unconditional love.
Willingness is the key.
It is.
Kind of, there is no self and other.
That's it. That's it. They're all saying the exact same thing, aren't they? That's, you know, that's what makes practice really so very, very simple. And, of course, ego is just dancing around trying, well, what about this and what? Yeah, but that, and yeah. Well, but what if, and they, and you, and they, and it's so very simple. And it can be held in that, I don't care. I have no interest in any of that. I choose unconditional love.
I choose unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And I include myself in that.
Oh, absolutely. You start there. Not the ego. Keep in mind, not the ego. You're choosing what was animating form before the form we call Beth was being animated, and what will be animating form after the form we call Beth is no longer.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfectly safe.
Perfectly. Yes. Yes. We can just relax into it. Yes. Please. Thank you. I love you.
It's that please part that just turns the heat up. Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. please. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, please. Please help me. Please help me get past anything that I am choosing over that which animates. So, you know, in our little short recitation, if I am suffering, it's because I am choosing something over ending suffering. Again, egos just go ballistic when they hear that. I'm not choosing suffering. Well, of course you are.
It's real.
Right in this very moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Thank you.
Got your assignment, girl. Unconditional.
Yeah. Unconditional.
Mhm. Mhm. All right. Take care of her.
That's my job.
That's your job. Exactly so. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Say thank you for it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good night. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. Sherry, that was just perfect. Caring for her and saying, I don't care, to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good recipe.
Mm-hmm. I care only for the unconditional. That's it.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yes, powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And we have time for at least one more caller here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Jodine. And I'm a
Hello, Jodine. You sound like you're on the move.
That was like perfect timing. I have not been able to call the show for a number of years, actually. And so I just decided, really, I can't do it? So I'm walking. I have to work until 5:30, and so anyhow, I can't ever like call in early. But I'm really glad that I got onto this particular show, because I've just had this like breakthrough that I want to talk about, and the content was about depression, but really the breakthrough, I would say, is something I've heard a lot about in practice, which is the shift from getting interested in the content versus the process.
Mm-hmm.
And how is the sound? Am I like okay, or is it really
distracting? Oh yeah,
distracting?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
You sound far away, but we can hear you fine. I mean,
okay.
I can tell you're outside, but you sound fine.
Good, great, okay. And so I have just gone through this kind of experiment in awareness where I looked at the kind of suffering process that I might call depression and realized that it's very, very present to me first thing in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And so what I did was I decided, after being guided to do this a million times, that I was just going to sit down with the mentor first thing in the morning and look at it, like, is there really no way that I'll ever be free from this? You know, like,
mm-hmm.
what's actually happening?
Mm-hmm.
How does it start?
mm-hmm.
Where does it lead? You know, just like a very, awareness-centered look at it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With interest,
yeah.
And curiosity.
Yes, and the other thing that really helped me, number one, I have to say what really helped me was being at the monastery and just putting all my conditioning aside and saying, I am struggling. Like, I've got all these tools, and I'm not using them, and I'm suffering, like, every single day. I'm tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other thing was that the pieces, like all these different pieces of the process, is really too much. First of all, they don't all happen in one day, right? Like they don't happen in one turn of this wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was somebody shared at the monastery that they had decided to record and listen first thing in the morning for 90 days, and they were really excited about it because they figured they were going to see everything there was to see, kind of.
Yep, all will be revealed.
Yeah, So I took it on, basically, and I'm probably more than halfway there, and so I see, I see like a little piece of it one day, and then I see another piece of it the next day, and there's no urgency, there's no like, you got to figure this out, or you're the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
mm-hmm.
whatever, like,
you
got to
change, you got to fix yourself.
Oh, yeah, there's no, there's no more interest in changing. It's like, that's the revolution. It's like, I just want to see this. Like,
mm-hmm.
I really want to see down to the bottom of this thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. It's exciting.
Yeah. And so, right now,
Jodine, hold that thought, because I want to underline two things that I'm going to lose, because there's a lot of good stuff here. The first thing is that the first difference was that you outed what conditioning was doing to you.
Yep.
Right? Instead of listening to a voice in your head that said, don't say anything about it. Don't be better. Don't be bad. Right? You just said, I'm struggling. I have all these tools. I'm not using them. I'm suffering. Okay? And so now we're in a completely different place. Now my primary relationship is not with the negative voices in my head. Now I'm actually open. Right? And the second thing is, of course, you positioned yourself in a great place for insights, called the monastery. But somebody said, I'm really excited about doing recording and listening with the mentor every morning, first thing in the morning for 90 days. And you sparked to that. And what you said is, okay, I'm going to do that too. Right? So that's one of those, life drops something in our path. It's really important that we not just kick it into the ditch or walk over it. Right? It's in my path. It's for me. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna make use of it. Okay, go ahead.
Well, just what came up when you were saying that is I had guidance a couple of years ago. I listened to some old recording from 4 years ago, and I called the radio show about this very process. I wake up in the morning, and I just want to die, and so 4 years ago, that was going on. I got guidance at some point in between now and then to do this very process, first thing in the morning, check in, how's the energy, how you doing, with somebody who's really lovingly interested in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it for a while, and then it fell away. So it's kind of like, but now it's so different. I guess it's like I was ready to hear it finally. And thank God I was still in the place where somebody was telling me that. I didn't say, oh, this doesn't work.
I'm going to go find better people with better advice.
Yeah.
You were practicing along. And as you say, you finally got to this place, or not finally, you got to this place where it came together. It dropped in.
It
was yours. Instead of something that you were hearing from somebody else, it's now yours. It's your experience.
Yes, because conditioning had put this process into a category of karma that will never melt.
You'll never get past this. You'll never see through this, and so don't even try. Right? That's the message. So don't even try.
It's so crazy that one of the things that I'm seeing that I was clinging to around the suffering was what in practice people say a lot, and again it finally sunk in, was that going with the conditioning and the story makes me like this person who it just reinforces this identity which I was not ready to let go of.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's like hypnosis. The story just repeats over and over and over. You are this way. You are that way. You feel this. You like that. That's who you are. You'll never change. You'll never be any different. Yeah. And suddenly that phrase about the conversation in your head, it's like it's got neon lights on it, right? Oh, uh-huh, I get it. Right? I this is self-hypnosis. Yeah.
Yeah, and the one last thing. The joy of it is, it was all in my head. It's not even real.
Isn't that the best thing to realize?
Yeah, it's like waking up from a nightmare and the sun is shining.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean the darkness won't try to come back, because it will.
Right.
But
right.
if we realize it's a process, then we know what to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And if there's a recording telling me the process goes like this, and I'm listening to it while the process is trying to get going, it almost has like no chance whatsoever anymore.
Yeah. 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 Oh, it's so thrilling, isn't it?
It is. You can tell.
All right.
So,
well, it's wonderful to hear.
So
it's wonderful to hear that. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. It makes me very happy for you.
Okay. See you
All
around.
Right. Take care. See you around.
Thanks, Sherry.
Okay.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. This is the show of heroes tonight, I think, Sherry.
It is.
Which it is every week.
Yep. Every day we get to spend with heroes. We're lucky folk.
Yes. And it's
All
after
right.
6 o'clock. And it's been a great
show.
So
there we are. It has. Yeah. And I thank you.
I thank
Talk
you.
Talk to you soon. Okay.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night, Michael.
Good night.